It is actually with great pleasure that I'd like to introduce our victim, Nicole, to you today. She is a survivor. One of the things that she said earlier that she doesn't like being called a victim, she hated that from day one. But I think once she tells her story, you're going to compel all kinds of emotions into your work from this day forward. She has been brutally victimized in every aspect. Her family suffered. She's going to have long-term lasting effects. And I think, honestly, once you hear her story, if you didn't see it before regarding these type of victims, you're definitely going to see a different side of things. So, Nicole?
Hi, I'm Nicole. I was 17 when I met my abuser. I had just turned 17, actually. When I first started, it's kind of hard to understand unless you're in the situation. But when I first started, honestly, I had no cares in the world whether it was dangerous or not. I met a guy, he put the charms on me, and I fell for it. When you're young, you kind of come from a broken home, you look for the next person that gives you the feelings that you never got at home. My abuser was a suave kind of person. He was slick with the tongue. He knew exactly what to say to make your day look so much brighter. The very first day that he put me out on the streets, I made $750 within 3 hours. I thought I was the richest person in the world. And then he immediately took me shopping. So I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I got brand new clothes, brand new shoes, everything. And me growing up, I was more of a tomboy person. I wasn't a girly girl. I never wore makeup. I never did my hair. I never wore heels. And when I met him, I wore my very first pair of heels, and I had to walk around the house for 3 hours so I can get down walking in heels. It was funny at first. I fell a lot. throughout the years, 10 months into it, I had to get a tattoo. And what most of you guys call branding, it was more so back then what I thought of a way of showing affection, that I thought it was an honor to get his name on me because no one else really had it. But then I started realizing that the more girls that came in the house, more tattoos that went out. So I wasn't the only one, so I didn't feel special anymore. I traveled a lot. I don't think I was in one place for amount of time to actually call it home. And at one point in time, I actually had 3 houses. I had one in Vegas, one in Tacoma, Washington, and one in Hawaii. I have gone to almost every single state except the central states. I've gone all down south, and they call it a triangle when you go from Seattle to California, Arizona, and Las Vegas. And I did that frequently. Las Vegas was a different place than normal places. Las Vegas, you didn't really work the streets, except I did, because I worked 24/7. I think I only got maybe 3 hours of sleep every night. Las Vegas, I would hit the casinos. And mind you, I was 17 at the time still, when I first went to Vegas. So I'm pretty ex-nate out of Vegas now. I'm 86th out of almost every single casino there is in Las Vegas, unless they built new ones, then I could probably go. Because every casino in Las Vegas, they're chained. If you're 86 from one casino, you're 86 from about 5 of them. And they put you in a computer system, so when you walk in the doors, the cameras catch you, and soon in-house security will come and get you and either call Metro Police and see if you have any warrants and take you to jail. I did that for about 4 years. I was going to Vegas a lot. About a year into being with my abuser, I became what's called the bottom, well, terms are bottom bitch is what the term is. I became the head girl pretty much. And like was explained to you, the head girls are the ones that help recruit other girls. They do all the legwork that the abuser pimp should do. But when they find that girl to make in charge, he puts her in charge of it. I posted ads. I had a prepaid debit card that I posted the ads with. I did a lot of internet sites. I was in charge of, at one point in time, I was in charge of 4 girls, and it got a little stressful because my abuser actually ended up with a few underage girls that were under the age of, I don't know, 16, I believe. So I got beat up a lot because I threw fits about that, because I know with me, I was 17 and I still didn't believe on having a girl that was 14, 15 in the house, just because for a 14, 15 year old, their minds still don't work as an adult. Even at 17, it's not like an adult process. So I remember one day I came back from Arizona and I was in Vegas. And when I had met one of the girls that he had brought home, and I found out how old she was 14 at the time, and she my abuser tried to lie to me and make her lie to me and tell me she was 18. You can look at this girl and tell us she wasn't 18 whatsoever. I proceeded to get drugged into the garage, and I got beat up for quite a few hours. And then I was forced into a cold shower for almost 3 hours, and I had to sit in there. I couldn't leave. I did try to run once, and when he caught me down the end of the street, I'm telling you, I would have wished my whole world would have just ended then. Sorry. I had some chances where I did get away. I think I left my abuser 3 times the whole time I was with him. And every time that I ran away, I had nothing to run to. I was forced to cut off all my family and friends. The first time I left, I had just barely turned 18, and I did get a job. I worked at this normal job for a month before my abuser found me again, and it was a hard decision, but it was an easy one at the same time, because when I left him, I left to nothing. I had no house. I had to depend on other people, and the person that I ended up staying with tried to do the same thing to me as my abuser did. So it made it a little bit hard, because if I'm going to end up doing the same thing, I might as well do it with someone that I thought loved me. My abuser was really, really manipulative, to the fact that he actually had me believing that it was almost a real relationship. So every time I did leave, I ended up going back. I actually got to the point where I left him once, and I was struggling so hard. I actually convinced my mom to give me some money so I could get a plane ticket to fly to him. It got really bad. The upside to me is that I was never forced to do drugs. That is one positive thing that I can possibly say out of the whole situation is I was not one of those girls that ended up on any type of drug. I was clean throughout the whole thing, and as hard as it sometimes was to be sober, because there was times where I wanted to be like the other girls and I wanted just to be numb and not deal with any of it. But I wasn't the type to go and resort to that. I did become an alcoholic for a while. I drank a lot, especially after I turned 21. It was difficult. It was a really difficult thing to, the last couple years that I was with him, I wanted to leave so bad that I didn't care. He sent me out to different states by myself. I didn't care anymore. As long as I was away from him, if I sent him money, then it was fine by me. Because as long as I wasn't with him, the beating stopped. But somehow, some way, every time I seen him, once a month I'd see him because I had to bring him the money because Western Union only allows you to do like $500 at a time. And I was sending him almost, I don't know, like $4,000 or $5,000 a week. And it was always something that I came back to. I always got in trouble for something. I made a sandwich wrong. I got the sandwich thrown at me, and then here comes the fist. He had a lot of what's called pimp partners. They're a group of pimps that run with each other. They'll meet up in different states and they'll hook up, like their girls will hook up together, and then they'll go all do what they're supposed to do. I know when I was here in Washington, I am trespassed from almost every single street that girls work on out here. Come from Seattle all the way down to Portland, I am trespassed. I've been good. I have not been arrested. I have not gotten in trouble for almost 5 years. And I still can't walk down South Tacoma Way. I still can't walk down. If I want to go see the Space Needle, I have to stay so far away from Denny Way. That's not even funny. If I get caught on those streets, I will get arrested. So it hinders my life because I grew up out here and there's still activities around these areas. Like the Space Needle and the Pacific Science Center, they sit right there by the track. And I can't go there because if I get caught, I get arrested. In Vegas, I want to be like every normal person and take vacations to Vegas, but I can't. I'll get arrested if I touch one casino. California, same with California. If I'm caught in Beverly Hills, I'll get arrested. It's not so bad in other states because I wasn't there long enough to build a reputation. So I'm pretty safe in most of the other states. Up until the day I ended up in the hospital, I was living in Hawaii for almost 4 or 5 months. And I was happy there. And I was really trying to figure out a way how to get away from him. And the moment that I came back, this was about 2007, the moment I came back, another girl was involved at the time, and she and my abuser had been doing drugs together, and she elaborated this big, huge story, and I got in so much trouble. I was held in a house for about a week, and I got beat up 3 times that week, to the point where, I don't know if any of you guys know who Quasimodo is, but I looked 10 times worse than him. My face, My left side of my face was broken, and I had to have reconstructive surgery. I had 3 broken ribs. My wrist and my thumb were broken. I had to have surgery on my wrist and put a screw in it. I probably have more metal than the Iron Man. When I was in the hospital, I was scared to death because I felt if he found out that I was there, that he would come looking for me. But I hadn't known that he got arrested the night that I went into the hospital. I wasn't aware of that until 2 days later when I was going in for surgery. But I think that was probably the worst week of my entire life. Well, the worst 2 weeks, because the first week was the beating and the second week was the hospital. And he's not even the one that took me to the hospital. He had some lady, some girl, drop me off at a hotel room. And I was so bad that I was so scared to go to fall asleep, because if I fell asleep, I don't think I would have woken up. I had blood caked in my hair. My eyes were to the point where one was swollen completely shut. I couldn't even, like, wince it open even a tiny bit. My other eye was barely open to where I could see where I was walking, and that's about it. I actually had a friend come get me to go get some money because I was scared to even stay there. So I went to go get some money, and when she took 2 looks at me, she told me she was dropping me off at an emergency room. She was taking me somewhere. She was scared to leave me by myself. So I said, screw it, take me to, I told her to take me to one of the hospitals. And I was rushed into ICU quicker than you can say peanut butter. Then when I got out of the hospital, I left the state, and he got a hold of me when I was away and convinced me to run. I ran for 11 months, and when I was on the run, for the first 4, I didn't have to work, but he made sure that I was so far away from Washington that extradition wasn't even a possibility. I did get arrested in Stockton, California, and for a material witness warrant. They released me. They didn't send me back up here. After that, I went to Miami. Miami arrested me on my material witness warrant, and they released me. I then found out that the day that I got arrested in Miami, he was at the hospital here in Washington watching his daughter be born by some other girl. So I decided to come back to Washington and somewhat turn myself in. Even the day that I got arrested for my material witness warrant here in Washington, he got arrested the same night. And while I was in booking, he came in and he threatened me in front of a federal officer and a PD officer. And I think that's when I started getting even more scared. And because if you actually have the guts to threaten somebody in front of cops, then you will find some way. And while I was in lockup, they didn't really keep us apart. We kept running into each other. So it made it even worse. So I got transferred, and I was put in a federal detention center and waiting till trial, pretty much. And during trial, it was scary because I sat on trial for a week. And throughout that week, I had to explain everything that I'm telling you right now. I had to explain it in almost full details. And for as many concussions as I had, I can tell you exactly when and where, what dates, all my flights were. I can almost tell you every time I got arrested and what I was wearing. I remember every single beating like it happened yesterday. Everything is so embedded in me that Even to this day, it is hard to hold down a regular relationship. It's even hard with family, because with family, when you don't know how severe everything was, it's hard to look at someone and think, well, you had a choice. My choice, I had a choice. Either I stayed and my mom was protected, or I left and I kept getting threats of my abuser bombing my mom's house. And there were reasons why I believed him. He had this gruesome side to him that you would never see unless you were behind closed doors and you actually seen incidents. There was one time I was working on the streets and I had been raped. And instead of believing me, I got pepper sprayed and was put into a cold shower for about 2 hours, and when I tried to sneak away, I got beat up to the point where he knocked me out. And when I woke up with no clothes on, and I had the pepper spray next to my face. So he proceeded to pepper spray me some more and throw me back into the shower. That repeated itself for almost 8 hours. And I was 18 at the time. He had not come home one night, and I was starting to get worried because he never not came home. So I repeatedly called his telephone, and when he got home the next morning, I got beat up with a frozen water bottle to the point where my face was so black and blue, it looked like I had put makeup on. All of the stuff that I endured with my abuser, it has hindered a lot with relationships, to the fact that I don't know if I can trust them. I don't know how far of my history I can explain to them without them judging me. And when someone says, "I love you," it's hard to believe them. I have had to go to numerous counselors because one minute I will get so low that I'll get really depressed and put into this box where I don't think everything's fair, because I'm sitting out here struggling with financial, emotional, my medical, and physical, that sometimes I don't think it's fair that he gets to sit in a box and fed 3 square meals a day, clothes on his back, and don't have to pay a dime for nothing. Sometimes it gets so hard that I have this hatred that rebuilds itself so much. And it's not just on my abuser, it's from society as well. Because I'll go in for a job interview, and I do have a criminal history. And when I have to go in there and explain my criminal history, they have this judgment look on their face like I was this nasty girl that they don't want to hire. But there's only so much of the details that I'm willing to explain with that with employers, because really, honestly, they're not going to care one way or the other if I do go into details. They're not going to care that if I didn't go to work that day, I got beat up. If I didn't go to work that day, I was locked in a closet. It didn't matter to them. What mattered to them was that they seen that I was arrested for prostitution, and it was a choice of mine. That's all they look at. So, I have come a long way since then, and I'm still dealing with my trials and tribulations, and I'm just trying now to overcome them and let others know that it's not as, the girls aren't as bad as everyone thinks they are. Me, I had my problems as a child, and when I got with him, like I said, I wasn't a drug addict. There was probably maybe a 6-month period of time where I drank a lot, but other than that, I didn't drink. I was probably the most sober girl out there. And I think that's why it weighs harder on me than it does others, because I was sober through everything and my emotions were tied into everything. Because not only did I have to protect myself every day, the girls that came underneath me, I had to protect them. If they got in trouble for something, I took the heat. I took the beating. Because most girls are 5'5", 5'7". I'm 6'2". And I can withstand more beatings than they could have. For when I got slapped across the face, yeah, I might have busted a lip or something, but for another girl, her nose broke. So at that point in time, when I noticed how much the beatings were doing to others, I took them instead. I tried to do the best that I could, and I actually ran off a few girls because I wanted to protect them. And if their choice in life was to be where I was, I tried to stop that. I tried to get them to understand that it's not where they wanted to be. And if they wanted to, they could still get out. I couldn't. I was locked. I was locked in where I was. I had no family left. I had no friends left. I barely spoke to my mom. My mom couldn't even know what state I was in most of the time. If I was back in Tacoma, I got to see her maybe once or twice. But that's about it. I couldn't even go see my mom for holidays. Everything played such a big part that even now to this day, and it's been almost 5 years, I'm still struggling. I'm still having to clean up my credit. I'm still having to deal with medical issues. I wear glasses now because of it. It's not because of my eyesight. It's because when my left eye socket broke, I have double vision for life in my left eye now. And I'm still trying to get away from it, but they're wanting to do another surgery on my eye, and I don't want to. There's still a lot of things that come with the past that I have that make it overwhelming sometimes, that make it to the point where I just want to give up. The relationships are the worst. The relationships are the hardest to build with people. That's why the ones that I do have, I cherish them with all my heart, because at least those are the ones I know I can trust through thick and thin. I'm done.
Nicole, do you want to mention college?
Okay, I have graduated college. I graduated March of 2012. And thanks to my wonderful support group, they gave me a party. It was the greatest thing in the world to actually know that there were people that were behind me and that supported me through everything. And it pushed me to want more, to want better. And granted, I don't drive a Mercedes, I don't drive a Maserati anymore, but at least I can say I own my car. And I do have my own place. I don't have to share my bathroom with 5 other girls. It's mine, and I can say it's mine. Everything that I have, I started from the bottom with. I've worked really hard to get where I am. And I'm still in school. I graduate next spring for paralegal. And probably after that, I'll go for my bachelor's. I do hold down a almost full-time job. And I love my job. I love my job very much. I'm still a people person, so my job gives me that opportunity. So it weighs more good than bad. And I reconnected with most of my family, and they give me as much support as I need now that I'm on the right track. So, yeah. I will.
Yeah. One question. What would you say to someone who might see or hear any of our reports struggling in the position you were and, you know, wanting to seek freedom but afraid to do it?
You're asking me if a girl wanted to seek out of the situation that she was in?
Yeah.
The only thing that I can honestly say is to reach out to as many people as they would know that would help them. Like for me, if it wasn't for my victim advocate, I would have fallen back. Because I had her in my corner, because she was there through everything. It didn't matter if I blew up her phone at 3 a.m., she was there. So, you know, reaching out and having an outlet like that is good. Having people that have patience and understanding for girls like me is a really positive thing. I know that I have been arrested quite a few times. Yeah, I had my moments of having an attitude with police officers, only because I knew that when I got arrested and got released, I still had to go back home to him. I still had to explain to him what I told the cops. Because not only did I get questioned by the cops, I went home and got questioned by him. And if I didn't give an answer that wasn't to his satisfaction, I got beat up because I said the wrong thing. I would reach out to as many outlets as possible. Me, my outlet was because I ended up in the hospital. And I wouldn't suggest that to anybody. Just because I know that there's other girls that were in worse situations than me. I just happen to be one of the luckiest that got away from it.
Nicole, do you think if you hadn't ended up in the hospital, you would have been able to get out?
I think, honestly, if I didn't end up in the hospital, and if I didn't have my victim advocate, and if he didn't go to jail, I'd probably still be with him.
Can you help us understand how that happened? You ended up in the hospital, and someone, was it from a law enforcement?
My doctor actually called law enforcement.
Okay.
And when law enforcement got involved, I kind of got spooked in the beginning because not only was it Lakewood PD, but later on the FBI got involved, and it really scared me. And I wanted to run. I didn't want to tell on him because I felt like if I told on him and he didn't get as many years as he did, because I have heard of abusers only getting 5 years. And now that the laws have changed and everything, but if he would have got that many years, he would be out right now looking for me. So I'm just glad that the law has changed and he's in there for a good number of years.
Are you worried about when he does get out?
Honestly, not as much as I was maybe 2 years ago. I still have my thoughts about that one. Just because I still get people that, like some of his pimp partners and friends, that actually try to reach out to me. I have gotten nasty letters. And there's actually the news Tribune has the report of the trial and stuff, and there's comments underneath there for people to comment on. I've actually read those, and it actually says some gruesome stuff about me. Even though I think some of those people that are on there don't know who I exactly am. But there's comments saying, well, she could have got away if she wanted to. Or, you know, well, she chose that lifestyle, so she should serve the consequences as much as he did.
Do you believe that?
No. Because if I could have got away, I would have. And I mean, I did get away from him 3 times, but because I ended up with nothing, I was homeless. I didn't have nothing but the clothes on my back and the little bit of money that I was making. He had all the resources. He had the laptops. He had the phones. I had nothing. And there was no way I could go crawling back at Mommy and Daddy's house and knock on the door and be like, can I come home? I think that's one of the reasons why I have a hard time relationships, because a lot of the guys that I went on calls to were married, did have kids. They had the nice little family, you know, wherever they lived. But lucky for me, I have a really, slick tongue, I guess. I got out of sexual acts with a lot of my clients. I didn't have to do as much as other girls. But it still hinders some things.
One more question.
Do you want to talk about why you're here today, why it's important to share this now?
It is here for me to... important for me to share this today because I have only told my story once before. I went to Port Angeles back in February, and that was the first time I ever told a full elaborate story of what happened. It's actually almost, this is kind of like my counseling almost. It helps me get it off my shoulders. It helps me kind of get it out there in the air instead of me burying it inside and trying to forget, because it's almost impossible to forget everything. Because like I said previously, it's embedded in my head. Every time I look in the mirror, I can tell the difference between my face. I know one eye is different than the other. Whether I tell other people, most people don't recognize it, but I know it's different. I can go to pluck my eyebrows and I can tell you it's different. Not only that, but because of the experience that I've had with the public and employers, it's important for me to at least reach out to one, if not 5, to let them know that we're not bad people. It's not that we chose to commit these crimes, you know, because it was the fun and everything. Most of the time, most of the girls end up in these situations because they have nowhere else to go. I know a few girls that ended up coming out of foster homes going into this because they had nothing else better to do. They had nowhere else to go. They thought at the time they had no futures. So why not?